tonight. I'm just really, I've been moved. I'll be honest with you, what I'm gonna share tonight, next week, and the week after is something that's been stirring in me since July and been excited about getting it out of my heart and chest and out to you somehow. So my prayer is that that happens. I don't care if it's eloquent. I don't care if it's dynamic. I care that you get this message from my heart, which I believe came from the Lord. I'm not usually really creative with titles of series, but this next series, I'm gonna call it Inside Out. Mainly because I feel like this is a way that we can look at the church inside. How are we supposed to act in this thing, you know? In this community of God, how are we to interact with one another? How are we supposed to be treating one another? And as the weeks go on, we're going to talk about outside the church. And what are things that are appropriate for our relationships outside? And how do we treat people that we come in contact with if we're in and out and this whole thing? I think there's a lot of confusion over that. And I think there's a lot of people that end up getting the wrong idea about Christianity, about people, about believers, about Jesus. And boy, I'd like to put a stop to that in some way, shape, or form if we can. So would you pray with me and we'll just get this thing started. God, we invite you in the center of this room tonight. We invite you to be the actual teacher, not me, that you would be penetrating hearts and you would be allowing, we invite your spirit to kind of just move around in this place and to challenge us with what it is that you have for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Have you noticed when you're inside a community that things are just a little different? There's two tendencies that we end up going to when we're inside of a community. The first is we end up becoming deeper people, and we want to think deeper and talk deeper about the issues that are there. For instance, have you ever talked, I know you guys are kind of on this side of town and State Farmers are over there, have you ever talked to anyone that works at State Farm? And they end up talking with other people from State Farm, and you're just like, that is like the most foreign language ever. This was an actual statement. I can't even remember. I got to write it down for you. That my wife actually, as she's talking to me, I kind of sometimes when she's talking State Farm, it's like that Klondike commercial, you know, where that guy's like five seconds of listening to your wife, and he's like, yeah. Okay, picture that face on me as she's saying this, okay? And she's like, I was supposed to fill out my SIC today, but in order to do that, I need the TAE. But good luck getting that, because they're all on the CDE and the ICT. Good talk, honey. It's a good talk. I'm glad we had this. Reminds me of the Super Bowl a few years back. Not last year when Eli won it, but the first time he won it a few years back, and Peyton was there, and Peyton's cheering him on and whatever, and there's this moment in the locker room afterwards. You know, in the Super Bowl, everything's caught on, every word is caught, and so they're filming him at his locker afterwards, these two brothers, these two Hall of Fame quarterbacks talking with each other, and you know how football started for them, right? It was like cheering for their dad, who was an NFL quarterback, Archie, and they're just probably just like, yay, daddy, score, run, fast, throw, touchdown. And that's just kind of, that was their vocabulary at one point. But next to that locker, it was so funny listening to Peyton talking to Eli. And he was like, yeah, when they were in that nickel package, you knew when slot right. And it was like, what? Why? How about a hug? How about a, yay, we did it? Or something of emotion. But no, it was just all deep. It was conversationally revolving around this idea of a deeper concept because they shared something in this community. When you're in a community, you have a tendency to think deep thoughts, have deep conversations, things that are much more necessary for someone on the inside to understand rather than the outside people looking in. You know, I talk State Farm Insurance, you know, I just don't know what to tell my wife. It's like, did you sell a lot today? That's just kind of all I can go with. And there's a need for us to dive deeper. And it should be that way. So you might be one of these people on the outside looking and peering into this Christian community of Encounter, and you're like, they like to talk about Jesus all the time. They like to talk about these parables, and they like to converse about some Old Testament stories and these kinds of things. And it's like, boy, it's intriguing. It's different. It's deep. That's because we have an inner circle. We have a relationship with this God that drives us to want to be deeper than the average general talker. And you just can't stay at a certain level, can you? When you start loving something greater, you have to go deeper. And so that's a tendency that we tend to run to, and that makes sense, right? Deep thinking. Another tendency that we run to when we are in these communities is that we end up talking about commitment and talking about, all right, if you're going to be in this club, if you're going to be in this group, then we have to sign with blood on your finger that you're going to be like committed to this place, right? And like if you're an RA, you got to sign a contract. If you're going to work somebody, you got to put in your 2 weeks if you're leaving, because we need to know if you're committed to this place. Commitment and deeper thinking are byproducts of an inner circle community. These are things that we tend to run to. These are the things that we think that we need to have more of if we're going to make this thing more effective. So, one of the most famous inner circles was this inner circle between Jesus and his bros, his 12 disciples. And Jesus hung out with these 12 guys for 3 years. He invested in them. They had deep conversations. They had a commitment to each other. They walked with him. They talked with him. There was commitment that was around this whole thing. And you would think that at the end of this 3-year span, that there would be a heightened awareness for those two things to come up all the more. Kind of like when you're almost ready to take your exam, it's like, I got to study one more thing. What are we going to learn? We got to know this stuff. And so here's what happens with Jesus. I think I got on my phone here. I'm going to try to read a little bit for you guys. This backdrop is that we have Jesus on the very night before he's betrayed. Well, this is hours before he's going to be hanging on a cross. And Jesus knows it. And what he does is he gets them all together in this upper room, and he washes their feet. Doesn't say a word, just washes their feet. You know how humbling that is? If you've ever had somebody wash your feet, it's uncomfortable. It's like, Jesus is like, I love you guys. Let me wash your feet. So he washes all their feet. They have a meal. And it's like towards the end of his talk. It's the end of his time. And so, okay, it says here. It says, my children, I'm going to be with you for just a little while longer. And so in other words, he's saying, come close. This is it. These are my final words. Something that you're going to really want to hold on to. Something that all of my 3 years before's investment is coming to this pinnacle, to this point, to this climax. This is it. I want you to lean in, lean to the edge of your seat. This is it. I'm only going to be with you for a very, very short time, just a little bit longer. And you're going to look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I'll tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. Now, can you imagine Jesus sitting there with you in an upper room? Somebody you've been hanging out with for a long time. You know there's something significant about this guy. You know he's the Son of God. You know that there's big things happen. And when he says lean in, you lean in. When he says, I got something to tell you, he's got something to tell you. And he pulls them all together. And he's like, guys, going somewhere and you can't come with me. Well, that, as we found out this weekend, would ruffle Peter's feathers completely. What do you mean? I'm going to go with you. And I mean, Peter is just frustrated. He's annoyed with this idea that Jesus is going to go somewhere without him. And now it's time for Jesus to tell them how to prepare, what to do, how to be ready. And here he goes. He's starting to jump in. He starts to lean in. And what do you think he'd say? I think you and I both, I know what we do. I know what I do. Hey, okay. Ten Commandments. You got those memorized? You got those ten? Remember, if you're having a hard time, remember the first four about God. The last six are about people. That helps me a lot. Maybe that'll help you guys. That's what Jesus said. Okay, you got that Ten Commandments? Okay. Let's go on to the next thing. What about how are we going to handle conflict? Oh my gosh, we haven't even covered that. Let's see. We got to cover how to cover conflict, and if it's a conflict with one or the other, go one on one. Okay, let's do that. You got that? And then if it's not that, if that doesn't work, then we'll go with two. And if that doesn't work, then oh my gosh, this is just too much. Matthew, why don't you just write this down and put it in your book? Okay. Okay. Take notes. What other things could there be that I need you guys to remember? I think you guys need to remember these laws that I put out there. You need to remember these things. And all of this, I would find it in my heart to be, that's how I would be. We got to remember this stuff. There's teaching moments. This is my last teaching moment. Or I might gravitate to the other extreme and be like, guys, we have bonded for 3 years and now I need a commitment from you. I need an all in. Let's like all prick our thumbs and let's like become blood brothers or something and put our thumbs in the circle. I don't know what we do, but there's something where I would be like, let's make this thing really, really take. And Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't run to extremes. He doesn't run to what it would look like for teaching. He doesn't run to the extreme of the on the other side. Instead, he says, "I got a new commandment." Well, don't you think it's a little late in the game to be giving us a new commandment? You got hours left. A new commandment I give you. Now, if you're like me, I'm really on the edge of my seat now because Jesus is giving us something new. And this is what he says. He says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. Love one another? Jesus, I'm afraid that's not so new. That's old. That's something we've known for a long time. He's like, no. No, I mean love one another. Now, the word love there is not, or the word new there, it can mean something significant, something unique, something new, something gripping. And this new commandment that he gives us that seems so old is because it's so different to what our minds track with. Because our minds go to studying something and to committing to something. And he's like, I'm going to give you something new. Something new that you need to take into this circle because this isn't about the rest of the world. He's not talking about all the world, although we are supposed to love people in the world. Everybody deserves love. That's another sermon. Tonight, this is what he says to these 12, actually 11 because one bailed. And he's got these guys in this circle, and he's like, this is my new commandment that I give you. Love one another. Next, he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's at this point, I think they're all still kind of starry-eyed, or they're all kind of like what's he really getting at here? Yeah, love. I mean, yeah, we're supposed to like each other. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to be nice to each other. No. How do I say this? Let's do it like I showed you how to do it. Matthew, you remember? Remember the time that I first met you? Remember what you were doing? Remember what how you were robbing people blind and you didn't have friend one and I came up to you and I loved you? Do you remember that? Yeah. Do you remember what I did after that? Remember where I went? And we went to your house. And you know what we did at your house? We hung out with all your other buddies. You know what all your buddies were doing? They were doing stuff that mom and dad said, don't hang out with these people because they, you know, these are not the kind of guys you should be hanging out with. I showed love to you, acceptance to you. I went to your house and I accepted you. And Matthew's kind of creeping back like, you did do that. And then he goes to Nathaniel, and he says, remember, Nathaniel, what you said about me when someone invited you to come and see? He said, hey, come, check out this Jesus. And you said, Nathaniel, you said, can anything good come from Nazareth? You dissed me, baby. That's me. That's my family. That's my whole world. And you spit in my face, basically. And remember what I did? I asked you to be a disciple. I asked you to follow me. I didn't hold that against you. I need you to love like that, guys. I need you to love people even when they wrong you. I need you to love people even when they tick you off, even when they bug you. And remember James and John? Don't let me think I'm getting you guys off the hook here. You guys are definitely part of this, because James and John are like, yeah, you guys. No, James, John, I happen to remember one day when I came in and overheard you guys talking about where you're going to sit in heaven. And you were asking me, can I sit at your right? Can I sit at your left? And you remember how you ticked all these other guys off because you're asking for shotgun in heaven? He says, do you remember how I handled that? Do you remember what I did? I didn't come down hard on you. I loved you. And Peter, we can't forget about you, man. I know we pick on you all the time, but man, do you remember how absolutely stupid you were that one time? When we went up onto that mountain, and miraculously we had Moses and Elijah came, and I glowed like, glowed? Remember that? Remember what you said, Peter? Oh, I think we should build little houses for everybody. That's what he said. Look it up. I think we should build little houses, little shelters for these guys. And you know how we just kind of ignored you, and you thought maybe we didn't hear you? I heard you. And that was so stupid. But how did I handle that? I pretended like I didn't hear you. People, we need to love each other like Jesus loved his disciples. That's what Jesus says. I need you guys to love each other, not just this, hi, good morning to you. It's a wonderful morning. It's the Lord's Day. Not that kind of love. It's the kind of love that's real, and it's the kind of love that's raw, and it's the kind of love that after you get spit in the face, you deal with it and you work with it. And when people say stupid stuff, you're like, I'm going to let that slide. It's that kind of a love where we're actually going to be having the other person's best interest in mind, and that's what it's like to love each other. And you 12, this is what I need you to do. I need you to love each other. I'm not asking you to memorize any scripture right now. I'm not asking for that. I don't want you to remember. You don't have to remember that stuff. You don't have to talk deep. This is what you need to do. You need to love one another. It's a new commandment. It's foreign to you. You have no idea how to think this way. And so I've saved it for last for you to grasp, because I've been doing it for you all along. As a matter of fact, we only have to go back 10 minutes I washed your feet. Love one another like I've loved you. Okay. Then he says, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. By this one thing, all men are going to know that you are my disciples. He doesn't say by this, all men are going to change. By this, oh my gosh, if you can just love your mom like you've never loved her before, she is going to do a 180. You watch and see. No, he's not saying that. By loving people, by loving each other, this inner circle community, by loving other Christians, by loving other believers, other followers, there are going to be people on the outside that are going to know that you're my disciples. This is crucial. This is huge. This is big. This is the commandment that I'm giving you. It's a new one. And I want you to listen up. Because if you take this seriously, you 12, there is a civil war that was going to happen in a place called America that will never have to happen if you do this right. If you do this right, there are going to be no need for some of the policies and some of the programs that this country in America is going to have to put together, because people just aren't going to know how to love. If you do this right, though, if the church does this one thing right, the whole world will be a uniquely different, wonderful place. And do you know at the end of John, who wrote this, do you know at the end of his life, it's recorded that he would walk around and just murmur under his, love each other, children. Love each other. There's just one thing, love one another. And it sounds soft, and that sounds so girly. Guys are going, oh, love, love, love. No, love each other in a way that's just raw and real and intentional. By this, they'll all know that you love one another. And here's the beautiful thing that happens. And I've seen it happen. It's happened with me. I've looked over the shoulders of Christians before. Before I was really in this community, I peeked in, and so did you. You got up close to some people that acted a little differently, and you looked over their shoulder, and you're like, oh, man, they don't do that the same as I do that. They're honest. They treat each other with respect. Man, have you been to that encounter group on campus? Have you seen how they interact with each other? Have you seen how the guys treat the girls? Not like any other place on this campus I've seen. You see how those girls respect and treat the guys? Man, it's kind of weird. It really is kind of weird. But I tell you what, if one of those guys wanted to date my sister, I might let them. Because they're just that nice. The way they treat each other changes me. Changes the way I see them. And so I, just like you, I was peeking over some shoulders, and I was observing a family when I was in college that just loved each other really, really well. Really, really intentionally. And I wanted in. Nobody coerced me in. Nobody, once I got close enough, they're like, I got you, you're coming to church with me. This isn't a ploy. This isn't a, hey, if we really act really nice, people are going to be fooled into this group. It's not it. Truly love each other well, and people are going to notice. They might even jump in. It's not a promise. But that's the way it works. I really liked how this was phrased. Andy Stanley says, we want to draw people in. We don't want to coerce them in. And he also says this, we want people to feel guilty, but not condemned. but I just don't want them to feel bad. Why? They're living in a life that's outside of God, where we know we're on the inside. Man, this is good stuff. This is the way it's supposed to be. And if you're on the outside looking in, man, I want you to know we like being here. We like this place. We like the place of the community of God, because it's in here that we have found purpose. We have found peace. We have found the things that I've been looking for my whole life. And I want you to have it too. And if you're not feeling that, I'm not going to guilt you into that. You want to do your thing? That's fine. I'm not going to coerce you in. I'm not going to handcuff you in. But if you feel kind of like, oh, I feel like maybe I should like treat girls better. Good. Hope you do feel that way. But I don't want you to ever feel like I'm condemning you. You see how it works? You see how we have all these strategies and we get really deep into thinking, oh, if we do this and this church strategy and we could do that and we can get this many people to come and these many flyers out there and we get them all together and we get this worship song and I saw this work once and rah, 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 rah. Love one another. No, what we need is we need people to sign up on groups. We need to be committed. You need to be there every week. And you know what we need? We also need somebody to be on a committee to get the committees to do their committee work. And we need to do this and that. And it just, if we just get more serious, man, we got to be committed. No? Love one another. New commandment. Different commandment. Different than any of that thinking. Just love one another. And look, it says, but this, while all men are going to know that you're my disciples. Here's a question. Does your roommate know that you're a disciple? Does your boss know? Do your classmates know? Do the people that you hang around with and you know their name and you guys are on a first name basis, do they know? Not because you said, I love Jesus. No. Because of the way you love one another. Man, there's something different about that guy. And you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that some of the things that really are the most drawing for other people is when we admit that we cheated on a test, or we don't are the only two in the class that didn't cheat on a test. Man, that's kind of weird. I mean, I'm here to get A's. I don't know about you, but these two over here, like, I wasn't strong enough to say no, but they were. Man, I respect those guys. I respect them. Man, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I necessarily want to buy into this whole idea of, saving myself to marriage and all that kind of stuff. But they're doing that. Like I said, I let my sister date them. But for me, I don't know about that for me, but I respect them. Can you see how the way we treat each other, it just draws a light to the people just are pulled in. And they look over that and they start feeling a little bit guilty. And it's like, man, I want to be like that, but do I? And they're kind of like, ee. The way the kingdom grows is by us loving each other. And all the church strategy and all of the church commitment all goes away. And you get some serious people about loving each other together. And a community starts building and growing. And you guys tasted it this weekend. You guys have tasted it here for years. It's been something in the making. And I can't take credit for it. I got to tell you, I feel like in some ways I'm preaching to the choir. I think you guys get this. I think you guys do a good job of this. We can always do better. But the more we love each other, the more people are going to be drawn in. And what ends up happening is this thing starts building and growing and getting bigger. And you know what? And it just becomes this movement. And that's what happens to these bigger churches. And then everyone goes and says, we got to put on a conference for us. And, you know, and they start thinking about it. Well, maybe we did this. And maybe we thought a lot. And maybe we did. You know what? No, you loved each other. And then he says it again. If you love one another. See how much is packed in that little bit right there? All of this will happen if you love one another. And then, oh, this is the best part. This is the best part. Very next verse, Peter put on his thinking cap and he looked at Jesus and he asked him, So where are you going? Lord, where are you going? Yeah. And Jesus is like, it's tomorrow, guys. This is coming tomorrow. And Jesus repeats what he said before. He said, where I'm going, you can't follow now, but you will follow later. And Peter takes that as a challenge. He takes that as a challenge right there and then. He's like, oh, okay, so this wasn't a riddle. No, I'm leaving, and you can't come. Okay, so what does he naturally do? He jumps from the area of thinking to the area of commitment. And he says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I can do it. I'm strong. And then he goes to the ultimate. He's like, I'll even lay my life down for you. How can I prove to you anymore how committed I am? I am all in. Dude, you're going to deny me 3 times to a schoolgirl by morning. You are not as committed as you think you are. You see, no matter how much we muster in our own strength, no matter how much commitment we think we've got, it's not enough. No matter how deep we think we've got and how thought through this whole thing has been, it's not enough. The new commandment. And here's what's been really awesome, something that really struck me today as I was chatting today with Jordan. We had a couple baptisms this weekend. It was just awesome. And Jordan comes in my office today and he's like, you know what? I want to get baptized too. I was like, that's sweet. And so we filled the tank and we're going to have a baptism tonight. Yeah. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know what? This baptism, for years, this is how I thought of baptism. For years, I'll admit this to you. I always kind of thought baptism was this ceremony, which it is, that showed God how committed I was to Him. How committed are you? You gotta weigh the cost. Are you really serious? Really? Okay. How serious are you? I'm serious enough to die for you. I'm gonna die to myself. And I'm boo. Yeah, me. I am committed. And as I was talking to Jordan today, you know, I realized that ceremony is not for God to see how committed you are. That ceremony is for you to remind you that you surrendered to yourself and that He's the one that's going to get you where you need to go. This isn't about your commitment. This isn't about you just being like, yeah, here I go. God, you need me. I know you need me. I'm all in. No. You need to just die to yourself. That's what that's about. And it makes it so awesome to know that this is all God's thing and not my thing. And I got to thinking today about if we took this idea seriously of loving each other and just really being different and unique. Because at a local church, you're really pulling people from all these different communities, aren't you? You're pulling people from all over town. This person works at State Farm, and that person works at CAT, and this person works over here, and they all kind of come together, and we say, go out and be the light, and then come back here. What's awesome about this community is you're all living together, and we're all on this campus together, and we're all going to class, and two of you this week are going to be in class together. and three of you are going to be in a club together, and four of you are going to be in a fraternity together, and five of you are in a baseball team together, and 30 of you are going to go on a bus over spring break, and we're going to all be together, and we're going to love each other. We're going to love each other so well that the rest of this campus, the people that are across the hall from you, the people that are down the hall from you, the people that are in class with you, they're going to say, yeah, I've seen those people here, and I've seen those people here, and over there, and I give up. Man, this looks good. I'm tired of the party, and I want to be this. Because we love each other. I've just taken 35 minutes to tell you one thing. But we need to hound on it because you know what? It's foreign to us. It's foreign to us to know how to love each other. And I am convinced of this. I am convinced that there are many people in this room, and there are many people outside of this place that have seen such a crappy job of the church at work. They have seen such a horrible example of what it means to love each other. What they have seen is they have seen affairs in the church. They have seen hatred in the church. They have seen people use the name of Jesus to beat each other up, and they don't want any part of it. And I say this, if I saw what you saw, I probably would agree with you. And I don't blame you, and I don't condemn you, and I'm not here to change your mind. I'm not. Because I'm not here to defend those people and what they did, but it would be a shame for you if that's the category that you're in tonight. I ask you to not throw Jesus out too, because Jesus wasn't those things, and Jesus taught the right thing, and Jesus lived the right thing. And Jesus came to die for you. And just because a few fools out there didn't get that, don't let that ruin the idea of Jesus for you. You might be tainted with that church. You might be tainted with our church. You might be tainted with me, because you know what? I may have let you down. You might hate me. I'm okay with that. Don't let that affect Jesus. And I want to also tell you this. You, all of you, no matter who you are, don't measure up to the standard that God has for you, that you have for yourself. And so it's really hard for you to throw stones when you know darn well that, man, I got something wrong in me too. We all need love, and we all need to be in this boat together. And so I'm asking you, are you in? No, that's not what we're doing. See how I am too? I'm like falling too. I'm like, oh yeah, I've just preached on that. No, we're not in. Here's an experiment for you though that I want to leave you with. I want you to leave this place. I want you to love this week. Just this week. Okay? I mean, you don't want to keep going after that. You're fine. That's fine. You can do that. But for this week, if you could try to take this new commandment and remove it somewhat, for some of the people that have been in this community for a long time, it's a little harder for you, I think, to remove it from what is comfortable, because in the church, you're used to migrating to the things you know. And I'm just going to ask you to try to separate yourself from that and say, I'm going to live by this new commandment. And maybe you're new into this faith, and I don't care. Would you all just try to grasp this idea of loving each other? And here's the cool thing, too. It's not about loving other people yet. We'll get there. Don't worry. That's coming in weeks to come. But right now, it's just this community. What do we do? Loving other Christians is the way that the rest of the world's going to see us strong. So let's do that this week. Let's stand and I'm going to pray. God, we want to love you. We want the world to know you. And we're not in a position to change everybody's heart on this campus. You are. But we are exactly in the position to show them that we are followers of you. I pray that people would know you because of our love. That we would start thinking even now, how can I be intentional with the way I love in the week to come? What does that look like on a baseball team? What does that look like in a classroom? What does that look like as I'm rooming with somebody that I don't really get along, but they're Christian? They're brothers and sisters, and yet we've been arguing. How does that look when somebody is foolish or annoying? God, help us to know how to love intentionally this week, and that there would be just an amazing amount of people in this world that we live on at ISU that would be able to see your great, great name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.